Let's meet the actors of the apocalypse, the most exciting, the most important, the most mysterious of all time and eternity. They're described in Revelation 12. The first actor is the woman. We see her in verses 1, 2, and 5. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. The Apostle John looked on the stage of the tribulation period, and he saw a sight that excited his wonder. What was it? A sign of tremendous truth. He saw it in heaven, but it portrays a reality on earth. He saw a woman. With what was she clothed? The sun. What was under her feet? The moon. What was on her head? 12 stars. What was her condition? She was with child. Who is she? The Roman Catholics say the Virgin Mary, calling her the Queen of Heaven. They say this shows her assumption into heaven. But the body of Mary never ascended into heaven. It's in the grave, not in glory. Others say it's the church, but it can't be. Why? Christ formed the church. How then could she give birth to Christ? She's always presented as a virgin, a chaste virgin bride, never as a mother. Who then is this woman? I believe she's Israel. Why? In the Old Testament, she's frequently introduced as the wife of Jehovah. In Isaiah 66, in speaking of Israel, verse 7 says, she delivered a man-child. And it is of Israel that Isaiah says in chapter 9, verse 6, unto us a child is born. The 12 stars may well speak of Israel's 12 patriarchs and her 12 tribes. The moon beneath her feet speaks of the reflected glory of the old covenant, while the sun tells of the glory of the new covenant. The second actor is the man-child. Who is he? The Lord Jesus Christ. In speaking of our Lord in Psalm 2:9, we see him ruling with a rod of iron. Again, in describing him in Revelation 19:15, it's written, he shall rule with a rod of iron. The first part of verse 5 was fulfilled 2,000 years ago. But the last part doesn't come to pass until the millennial kingdom of Christ is established on this earth. There's no reference of the life and death of our Lord in this verse, nor is there any reference between verses 5 and 6 to this period of grace. Why? Because God is dealing with Israel here. The clock stopped for Israel when she rejected the Messiah. Today, the Jews must repent like any other people. There's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. But the clock will start again. When? During the tribulation period. So we see mentioned the birth of our Lord, his reign, and his being caught up. The expression in verse 5, was caught up, means to seize as a wild beast would its prey, as in John 10, where the wolf catcheth the sheep. It's also used in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, where the church is caught up. Satan and his demons will offer opposition to the saints going through their territory on their way to heaven. So there are two time lapses in verse 5. The first, a period of 33 years from our Lord's birth to his ascension. The second, a period of about 2,000 years from his ascension to the end of the Great Tribulation. The interest isn't in the human Jesus in this verse, it's in the exalted and victorious Christ. The third actor is the great red dragon, verses 3 and 4. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and it cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Who is he? Verse 9 answers, the great dragon, that old serpent, the devil, Satan. Are you wondering why is he called red? Because it indicates his murderous characteristics. The word for red in this verse speaks of fire, and it signifies his cruelty. Did you notice that the great red dragon had 7 heads, each with a diadem, and he had 10 horns? The figure 7 speaks of completeness of authority, and the diadems are crowns of power given to him by God, and the 10 horns speak of the universal nature of his earth rule. He'll rule over the revived Roman Empire. The 14th chapter of Isaiah described Lucifer as the son of the morning. The 28th chapter of Ezekiel described him as the anointed cherub that covereth. That is, he was assigned as the highest created angel of God, the guardianship of the throne of God. In that holy mountain, he walked up and down perfect in all his ways, wise and beautiful. But his heart was lifted up with pride. He then rebelled against God, for he desired to usurp the throne of God. But before he could have thrown God from his throne and ruled the world, he'd have to have angels under his control or authority to assist him. In the 4th verse, we read, his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. The stars refer to the angelic beings. He persuaded them to rebel against God. The angels, who were created with a will, who had the power to make a choice, were confronted with a big choice, to follow the Lord or Lucifer. Now, Lucifer proposed not only to elevate himself, but also those who'd follow him. Wanting to rule over thrones and principalities and dominions and powers, a third followed him. They believed, apparently, that the universe could be better served by Lucifer than by the Lord. That group of angels was bound together like a kingdom. Ephesians 6:12 speaks of it as principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. It's Your choice, my friend, to choose Lucifer or the Lord. I pray with all my heart that you will choose the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive him as your Savior. Crown him as your Lord. Serve him faithfully and follow him closely, going with him each step of this way, all through your earthly pilgrimage, and then you will reign with him in heaven throughout all eternity.